Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, to another edition of The Wanda for Life. So much for tuning in. It's truly, truly an honor and a blessing to have you along. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to another wonderful show that we've got planned for you. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Time sure flies, and we have gotten back. Fortunately, we're so thankful, very thankful to have as our special guest a brother who's a regular on this show, and we definitely love bringing him to you, spreading the good news of holistic health. His brother is a healer extraordinaire. His brother has been healing for over 30 years and has gotten, testimonies that he could share with you. He's seen God at work through what God has made, and that is herbs, proper diet, and he's here to share that information with you. And hopefully you have an open mind and an open heart and you're ready to hear it. We do realize that this is not a show that you can hear once a year or twice a year, but you have to hear it on a regular basis. This type of information has to be reinforced. And if you don't know who I'm talking about by now, when I said holistic health, we're talking about the one and only Brother King, we call him, King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. As I mentioned, he's been healing people for over 30 years using a holistic diet. I like to use the word live it, okay, because the American Standard Diet, you eat that, then that's what will happen. You will die, okay, of some sort of ailment. But if you change that diet to a live it, then you can live a prosperous and healthy life. So let me get to my guest without further ado. By the way, I'm in the studio with my queen, Aquia Chef-Natere.
Hello, everybody.
And it's truly a blessing, again, to have as our special guest, Brother King Coy Dunstan. Welcome to Juwanza for Life. How are you, sir?
I'm alive and well, and how are yourself?
We're excellent, 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 brother. It's truly a blessing to have you back. Time sure does fly, and our topic tonight, brother, we're going to be talking about pH. You know, what is pH? What does it do? Why is it important to know this? Because a lot of times people who have made the transition from eating meat to going vegetarian, and even from going vegetarian to vegan, from going vegan to going raw, you know, they're going to hear terms such as pH, and they need to know what it is and why is that important to know. So we can jump right on in, Brother Coy. What is pH, and why is it important?
Let me start by saying good evening to your audience and to the Queen and all the listeners out there. We pray that you all are well and doing fine, and we hope that what we have to say tonight will be beneficial not only to you but to information that you can share with people around you that may need it. But back to the question. What is pH? pH is a balance between acid and alkaline in the body, and when we talk about pH, we talk about whether or not you're acid or whether or not you're alkaline. Acidity is a disease state. Alkalinity is a healthy state. You want to watch the balance. It should be between 7.2, 7.4, somewhere around in that area. And there are a number of ways that we can achieve that balance. Number one is, if you don't know, you can get test strips. There's some test strips, alkaline test strips, that you can test yourself, your urine, your saliva, and determine whether or not your body is too acid or too alkaline. And once you make that determination, you have to make a decision to make it more alkaline or less acid, whatever the situation, the test may reveal. But alkalinity is a state of health. It's where you are the healthiest. And if you can keep your pH balance in the proper range from 7.2 to 7.4, you'll find that you will never get sick. And oftentimes, if you have a disease, if you can bring more alkalinity to the body, you will find that the condition or your condition will dissipate a little, and you will feel less results of disease if you continue to work on your acid alkaline balance. It's very important in terms of your health, and if you can keep it within the range of 7.2 to 7.4, you'll find that you'll have a much better chance of less disease, and you will have less pain, and you will have less problems in terms of your day-to-day activity in your body. Mm-hmm. But we encourage everybody to work on your pH balance, we call it. And if you do that, that is a good indication that you're moving in the right direction to a happier and healthier life.
You know, Brother Coy, you mentioned something. You said that if you do that, okay, which states that you're going to have to be the one to do it, okay, because there are people who just assume that everything that is out there in the supermarket, if it was allowed by the FDA, that it's good to consume, you know, because we don't often, you know, we don't think that, for example, the FDA is going to allow any harmful substance to hit the market. And so you assume that everything that you get from a supermarket is good for consumption, you know, but you mentioned that if you monitor your pH, if you, you know, keep your pH level or balance at a particular level, then you will see the, you know, the results that you're looking for. If you could just even talk about that, just how important it is for people to realize that their health is in their hands. And for so long, people have just given their health over to other people who they thought either had their best interest at heart or thought that they knew what they were doing, and with mixed results.
Yes,
sometimes
that's
fatal.
That's true. That's very true, because we feel that as long as I eat a certain way or a certain thing, that it's okay. But if you're finding yourself having high blood sugar or high blood pressure, or you have arthritis or all the diseases that we suffer from, chances are you are eating an acid diet, and that is what leads to the imbalance in your pH. So you want to make sure that you understand, first of all, what foods are and what foods are not alkaline, and then you want to move toward a place to where you can have or incorporate more of the alkaline foods into your diet and see the difference that it makes.
Okay.
You know, hi, Coy. You know, I know a lot of people wonder why people really, you know, talk about being a vegetarian or being vegan. And, you know, as you, you know, I guess talk about more, I guess, the different types of foods that is more alkaline-based, that I think that that's part of the reason why people are really promoting the vegetarian lifestyle, because is it true that more fruits and vegetables are alkaline-based?
Alkaline foods are generally your fruits, grains, nuts, and seeds, a plant-based diet. But you have to be careful with that also, because you can, even being a vegetarian or a vegan, you can be consuming acid-based foods, and that can create some of the problems we've talked about, blood sugar problems, high blood pressure, the things that we suffer from the most. If you're getting too much acid in your system, those things will show up. So you first want to look at your diet, look at what you're eating, determine whether or not it's acid or alkaline. And oftentimes you can go into a search engine on the computer and ask whoever what is an alkaline food, and it'll give you a pretty good indication of whether or not your diet is more alkaline or more acid. And from there, mm-hmm. you can make a determination about what changes you need to make and what you need to eliminate from your diet. So, yes, there is a base of foods that are alkaline, and we'll probably talk about that as we go through this evening. And we encourage everybody to try to eat more alkaline foods for better health.
You know, Coy, a lot of times people think, I know that I did for the longest time, you know, when we think of acidic foods, oftentimes we think of bitters. You know, you would think that if something's bitter to your tongue, you know, or has that, I guess bitter would be the closest thing, like, for example, a lemon. You know, you would taste it and be like, you know, that taste that, you know, gives you that look on your face, you know, or a lime or something, or a grapefruit, you know, citrus fruits. You know, people would assume that citrus fruits are all acidic. You would think that just by the taste of them. But, you know, just from reading, you know, I found that they are what they call acid-forming foods and alkaline forming foods. So, for example, if you did a pH test on a lemon, it might, before you ingested the lemon, it might be alkaline, but it's because it's an alkaline, or it might be acidic, but because it's an alkaline forming food, once it enters into your body, then some transformation takes place and turns that into alkalinity. Is that correct?
Well, that is a good way to test to see where you might be. Off-the-cuff tests, you can try eating a lemon. If you find that it's so bitter that you can hardly eat it, chances are your body is over-acid because the alkalinity is trying to push away the acid, and that's why you get the bitter taste or the pungent taste that we get when we eat citrus fruit. But really, the citrus fruit is a good test to see whether or not you can whether or not you need to go to more of an alkaline diet. If it's too bitter, or if you can hardly eat it, or if you don't want to eat it, chances are you're acid, and you need to work on that. Yes.
Okay.
Well, what is some of the signs that, even before you might take a pH test, that may be an indication that you are more acidic? Maybe an illness, or maybe not because you have a tendency to get sick, but, you know, I think sometimes, is it your indigestion? Is that sometimes one of the first things that your digestion, you know, having digestion problems, is that one of the first signs, like acid reflux, you know, different things like that? Is that one of the first signs that you might think that will give you some indication that you might have a more acidic-prone diet?
Yeah, I would say that that's a good indication that you need to check yourself and see what you're doing here, because if you have acid reflux or even diabetes or high blood pressure or arthritis, all of those things come from acids in the system, acids that the body cannot dissipate and get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to work with working with the diet. You can begin to change what you eat and move your body toward more alkalinity, and you'll find that a lot of the symptoms that you have, including the high blood pressure, the diabetes, the arthritis, those things will subside, and your body will be able to rebuild itself and get rid of those side effects from being over acid. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, can a person be too alkaline, Coy? I mean, in the attempt to become alkaline. Let's say somebody says, okay, they found out that they're too acidic, and they decide, you know, all I'm going to do is eat alkaline forming foods, and then as a result of that, they become, let's say you mentioned that a good range would be between 7.2 and 7.4 on the alkalines. What if it was higher than that? Would there be any, what would be the downside to, let's say, if it was 7.6? And the scale goes from 0 to 14 with 7 being in the middle, correct?
Yes, that's something like that. That's a good way to understand it. But
okay.
The problem with being over acidic or being over alkaline, we'll say, if you got too much alkalinity, you can create the same problem as being having an acid base body. So you want to try to keep your balance so that you're not over acidic or you're not over alkaline, and you want to maintain in a place where your body can function at its maximum, where you're getting the best nutrition to the cell, and you're getting rid of the acids in the system. And being too much acid or too much alkaline can be a problem on both sides. So you want to work on the bend and the balance, and that's where you get your optimum health.
Well, let me ask you this, Brother Coy. What about raw food versus cooked food? Now, would that affect the pH level of substance in any way? Would raw foods be better than cooked food? Or when you actually, I know that it's been stated that when you cook food, that whatever minerals or nutrients is in the food depletes most of it, if not all of it. Would that affect the alkalinity or the acidity of a substance by cooking it?
Well, generally, no. If you have an alkaline, if you start with an alkaline food and you heat it above 120, you may be getting into a problem there. But as long as you lightly steam or just get it good enough for the palate to assimilate and digest, you'll find that you won't have that problem. But, yes, you want to make sure that you don't go overboard in terms of one way or the other in terms of being acid or alkaline. And that's one way. Mm-hmm. One way to do that is to understand the foods that you're eating and what they're doing to you.
Mm-hmm. And water, what about water? How does water, is spring water alkaline? Because you have people that do spring water. They said, okay, I'm not drinking any more tap water. Is spring water, would you say spring water is alkaline?
Maybe in the 50s, 60s, 70s maybe. But now because our intake of food and medicines and all the other things that we do to try to stay healthy is so acidic, based in mm-hmm. acidity, we find that taking those things that are recommended for, like we talked about, acid reflux. If you take some of the things that are recommended for acid reflux, you're going to find that, yes, you may get some temporary relief, but it comes back. So you want to make sure that you do the holistic approach and do the holistic diet in terms of making sure that you're not doing anything to create the acidity or the acid reflux in your system in the first place. And I think acid reflux is probably the number one condition in America. They fail with all the antacids. And if we can get to a place to where we don't have to have the antacids by eating properly, the right fruits, the right vegetables, the right grains, nuts, and seeds, you'll find that you won't have a problem with in terms of being over acid or over alkaline. Now, yes, water is important, but because of what we just stated, the way we eat, what we eat, and all the things that we eat that comes out into the water tables or the water supply, if we eat a lot of acid food, it's going to go through us into the water table, and you're going to find that it's going to affect spring water. It's going to affect almost any kind of water that we have that we get from the ground. So we have to be careful in terms of what kind of water, in that we have to make sure that the water is not too acidic, that too much fertilizer, all the things that we put on the ground, the plant killers and all of that stuff, it goes right into the water table. So you want to make sure
wow.
that we have eliminated as much as we can the acid buildup in the water that we get from just the way we live, by maybe looking at alkaline water. You can get alkaline water now. There are machines you can get to bring the water to alkaline level. There are
okay.
Certain waters you can buy from certain springs that will keep the alkaline level at a proper level, so that you don't have this problem of building up too much acidity from the water that you drink. So, yeah, water is important, but we want to make sure that we're getting the right water, no tap water.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the bottle waters, because a lot of it is just filtered water, and
mm-hmm.
you want to watch the source of the water. So if you can't, or if you're in an area where the water is acidic and you can test your water, then you want to make sure you get some kind of filtration system or some kind of machine that will bring the water back to an alkaline level. And then you can also just, if you can't find any, you can't afford a machine, you may have to resort to just buying alkaline water. You can go to the store now and you can find alkaline water, and I think about as high as you want is 9.5. So anything over 7.3 or 4, you want to make sure it stays between 7.3 and 4 to 9.5, somewhere in that range, just so you can handle the acidity that you're putting in your body from your daily activity.
You know, Brother Coy, since we're speaking about water, I just wanted to mention that I actually had read somewhere where they were even talking about the containers that the water comes in, even the plastic, jugs. You know, I guess they're saying somehow there's something that they make or put on the plastic or whatever that seeps into the water. How could one avoid that situation? Because the water's got to be contained in something.
Well, you want to make sure that your water is not, even though it may be in a plastic, you want to make sure of the kind of plastic. There are different levels of plastic. Some leach more readily than others. Usually the gallon water bottles are the most susceptible to leaching.
Oh, really? Okay.
Really, you want to watch and see what kind of the environment have this water been in. Has it been in a heat-forming environment? Has it been, you know, above 100 degrees for a period of time, or has it been exposed to contaminants that might bring acidity into the plastic? But yeah,
mm-hmm.
ideally you want your water out of a glass bottle, but in reality most of the water that we get today is in a plastic, and the plastic can leach if it gets overheated, and it can create another problem. So you want to watch that. And maybe test your water when you get it and make sure that it's in a range that will be beneficial to the body.
Okay, that's interesting, because a lot of times you might have people that buy water and put it in the trunk, okay,
yeah.
and they might have the trunk sitting, and it might be a very hot day. That's not a good place for your water, sitting in the trunk.
That could be a problem. That could create a problem, yes. Because you're getting the chemicals from the plastic leaching into the water, and that's not good, yes. So you want to be careful with how you handle your water and where you get it from. Yeah.
Okay.
Boy, I also wanted to ask a question about medicine. So I know medicine can be toxic or is toxic to the body. So definitely, would that be considered acidic?
Absolutely. That's probably the number one cause of acidity is the medications that they give us. It's based in an acidic pH. And it creates that condition in the body when we ingest the body. It takes us to an acid level. That's why we have to be careful of how we take medication and what medications we take. We need to understand what is it doing to our pH. And if you find that it's you're taking a medication and it's not really doing what you want it to do, chances are you are over acid and you want to look at some alternatives in terms of bringing some more alkalinity into the body. And the best way to do that is through your plant-based diet, your herbs, your vitamins, your minerals, your herbs, your the vegetables, and your fruit, and your grains, nuts, and seeds. So the best way to keep that alkalinity level at a level that's not too high or too low.
So someone that is trying to transition to an alkaline-based diet and they are on, you know, some form of medication for something that they may be dealing with right now, how would you recommend for them to make that transition? I mean, because I know the herbs are available to help assist the person in that transition, but how would you kind of recommend for somebody to make that transition?
Well, if you're on a medication that requires that you're required to take for some reason, you have to look at what you can do to reduce the reason why you're taking it. If you have high blood pressure and they give you a high blood pressure medication, you may want to be careful how you decide to stop taking it. So you want to, first of all, make sure that your diet is a plant-based diet while you take the medication. And over time, as you learn how to use the herbs and the other medications that might be available that's not acidic, then you can begin to reverse some of the conditions and bring down your blood pressure or your blood sugar based on primarily your diet. If you eat a plant-based diet, you will go to an alkaline level, and that will eliminate most of the diseases that we have, high blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, and just eliminate the dairy, sugar, and the meat, and you'll find that a lot of the conditions that you're taking the medications for will dissipate. So you want to monitor yourself while you do this, and as your symptoms or condition begins to improve, you will find that just doing more juicing, more raw, as we talked about earlier, you do the raw foods, that's the best alkaline level, and juicing is the best way to get the alkalinity level in the body to a level that's acceptable for the body to function properly, and you will find that you will not need or not have to take a lot of the medications that are acid-based that they put you on.
Brother Coy, do you have a recommendation as it relates to, or a preference, shall I say, as it relates to smoothies or juicing? Does one assimilate into the body more readily than the other, or are they both equally as good?
I would probably say that juicing is the best. I would say is if you got good fruits and vegetables and they're not filled with pesticides and maybe organic, you want to say, you will find that juicing is the best way to bring your pH balance back. But if you don't want to juice all the time, then you can do a smoothie, and in the smoothie you can add in the vitamins, the minerals, you know, powdered form or even juice form. You can add them to your juicing or in the form of a smoothie with other fruit or something, and you can find that, yes, you will get a good benefit from taking the fruits with the powdered supplements or liquid supplements that like blend well with the smoothie, and you will get good results with that too.
Also, Coy, concerning fruits, oftentimes, because, you know, a lot of stores sell frozen fruits that's already frozen. They might, you know, have, you know, frozen pineapple, frozen strawberries, you know, every little frozen stuff already, you know. Does the freezing of the food affect anything, or would it be better to get a fresh pineapple, cut it up, and put it in your smoothie or your juicer, as opposed to using the prepackaged, already frozen foods that, of course, they would have to have some sort of something to preserve the fruit?
Well, the fresh fruit in season that has been ripened on the vine would be the first preference. And if you can't do that, say you are not in pineapple season or you're not in watermelon season. If you have frozen, if the fruit that you want to use is picked at when it's ripe, vine ripe, ripe on the vine, and it's frozen properly and it's stored properly, that's just as good as taking the fresh fruit at depending on your condition or what you're trying to deal with. But if you can't get the vine ripe fruit, then you want to go to the frozen that's been vine ripe and frozen at the peak of its ripeness.
Okay. Well, what are some foods, Coy, that if somebody wants to make this change and, you know, really start paying attention to what goes into their body and they're saying, okay, I am going to do the alkaline thing. I'm going to get my alkalinity to a level of between 7.2 and 7.4. What foods should they definitely need to stay away from?
Well, basically, the dairy, the sugar, and the meat, that's the real culprit in terms of affecting your health and your lifestyle. Too much meat will slow your system down, clog it up, make you constipated. Mm-hmm. Too much sugar will mess with your brain, and it's like a drug. It'll make you addicted. And too much dairy or non-natural foods, say man-made foods, foods that are made in a laboratory, all of those things will wind up being acid-based, and we want to look at ways that we can avoid those things. So, yeah, you want to stay with the plant-based diet. The alkaline foods comes in different ranges. I mean, you got alkaline vegetables, you have alkaline fruit. But a good baseline to write down, if you want to write down, is you want a food that was made naturally by God, by the way the plant-based system works. You want one that's not a hybrid. You want one that's a hybrid is a food that has been manufactured in a laboratory to create some food like a carrot. It's really it's not a natural food. You want to stay with a natural food that was made by God the way God intended it to be, and that's why we stay with the herbs as much as we can, because the herbs are alkaline base usually, and if you know how to research and find out whether or not a plant is natural or man-made, you just ask to go on your computer and ask where did it come from, who made it, when did it first get introduced into the diet, and who introduced it, and you'll find that oftentimes a lot of the foods that we're eating are really not natural foods. We call natural is the way God made it. And they have been hybridized, hybrids. They have been formed, take two different plants and hybrid them together, and you will get an acid-based food. So you want to stay with the natural foods that God made that no man has touched, and you want to eat as many of those as you can. It's getting harder to find those, but they are out there, and you will have to do some research to really make a determination about whether or not the food you're eating is really an alkaline-based food or an acid-based food. So that's the first test you got to give any food that you eat.
Well, you know what? I would suggest that people compare lists, too, because I was actually, you know, you talking about hybridized. I was actually looking at a list today of alkaline versus acidic. And one of the lists said that seedless grapes were alkaline. Now, I thought to myself, now, of course, God made grapes with seeds, okay?
Yeah.
So even if you could talk about that, just as far as when consuming, if you buy a fruit, for example, you don't want seedless grapes, right? You'd be better served to go with a grape that has seeds or watermelons with seeds, correct? Is that
that's
one
correct.
Test?
I would say any food that you eat, you want it to have seeds because that's the way God made it, and it should be able to reproduce itself. And oftentimes we find that we get these seedless grapes and seedless watermelons and seedless other things, and we find they may be in the short run temporary, like to move from one place to another, you might want to do a seedless grape or seedless watermelon, particularly when they're not in season. You may look at that as an alternative, but it's not the best alternative that you can get. You want the vine ripe fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, and seeds to make sure that you are getting the best source of the food that that God made available to you. So yes, you want to watch that seedless stuff. It's generally genetically modified, and any genetically modified product is an acidic based food. So you want to watch that. Yes.
You mentioned carrots earlier as being, I guess, not made by God. Could you talk about carrots? Because there are people who swear by carrot juice. You know, they have carrot juice first thing in the morning.
That's the dilemma. If you, some of us are so acidic that anything that we do that's live will make a difference. But it doesn't mean that it's the best thing for us to do. So you first want to look at whether or not your food is acid or alkaline, and you do that by determining whether or not it's a hybrid. If it's a hybrid, chances are it's going to create acidity in the system, and over time it's going to create a problem. But if you can stay with the naturally grown fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, and seeds, you'll find that a lot of the acidity that comes from eating hybridized foods, you won't have a problem with eating them, and they will be beneficial to your body. But it doesn't mean that it'll be all smooth and easy, because when you start introducing those good foods into your body, you may get some reactions that may not be pleasant at the moment, but you need to stay with it, because it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to move out that acid balance in the system and bring in a more alkaline balance, and sometimes that process can be a little discomfort. But in the most, for the most part, you'll find that over time, and if you stay with it, you will get your energy level back, you will feel better, you will have less disease, and you will be able to have a good immune system to fight off disease. So, yes, you want to look at basically, first of all, natural foods instead of a hybridized food. A carrot is a hybrid because it's a cross between two other vegetables, and when you do that, you create an acid-based food. No doubt, no way around that. So you want to stay with, as best you can, the root-based foods, the ones that grow in the ground that has that cannot be hybridized, or you don't have to hybridize to enjoy the nutrition that it brings to the body. So yes, you want to watch that.
Well, Coy, I have a question, because in my research as well, looking at what's alkaline and acidic, one of the lists that I came across, it said that a lemon and watermelon are both one of the, I guess, one of the higher level types of foods that is highly alkaline.
That's correct. As long as they have the seeds and they're naturally grown and not hybridized, you have to put that caveat there, because a lot of the watermelons have no seeds, and the lemons are basically some lemons are seedless. So you want to make sure that you have the whole lemon or the whole watermelon before you trek off and start eating a lot of either one of them. But as long as they have seeds and they're natural, yes, they're the most alkalizing food that you can get.
Oh, and what about teas for a person that's kind of maybe making that transition from, say, for instance, coffee, which is very acidic, is that correct?
That is correct.
So what about some
teas? There are a number of different herbal teas, we call it, teas from herbs or plants that have a lot of medicinal benefit. You want to make sure that you do a little research and make sure that you're drinking the teas made from the herbs that will address your condition. In other words, if you have arthritis, you might want to make sure you have some devil's claw, say. Drink a lot of devil's claw tea. Just heat it up and make a tea and drink it. You'll find that you'll get the less arthritic results if you do teas that are formulated to move that uric acid out of the system. Black cherries, a lot of the cherries and a lot of the berries are good for arthritic pain, and you'll find that they will be beneficial in terms of reducing the effects on your body if you do the whole plant or the whole food. You'll find that you will get, not only do they taste good, they are good for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Coy, if you could even talk about the time that it takes to adjust, and I'm sure with everybody it's different, but just the palate adjusting to the new lifestyle, because when you're used to eating what you're eating, you know, you like what you like. And if you are deciding to now change your diet to a livid, then you're going to have to start eating some different foods, and your palate is going to have to adjust. And, you know, a lot of times people feel like, oh, I don't like that, that doesn't taste good. But, you know, I found that to be the case when I started drinking herbal teas, because normally when I would drink a tea, you know, prior to becoming holistic, it was Lipton, you know, Lipton tea with a lemon and some sugar, you know. But then when I started drinking, you know, when I started drinking, you know, dandelion, burdock, yellow dock, and, you know, red clover, you know, of course I wasn't putting sugar in there. And so I had to, my palate had to adjust to this new taste. So if you could just talk about the palate, the changing, and again, I know for everybody that timetable is different before they get adjusted to it, but the necessity in being patient, because you will eventually become accustomed to your new lifestyle.
You will, and you have to just stay with it. Remember that we are moving from acid to alkaline, and your body may not, or your palate may not like that change, because oftentimes associated with that acidic diet, you have parasites. And the parasites like what they want, like what they like. So you want to, the parasites want the sugar and the meat and all the things that we feed our bodies. So we want to make sure that we give our bodies a chance to recover from eating those things. And oftentimes that process may be a little discomforting, but you just have to keep with it. And over time you will find that your palate will adjust, and you will find that you'll wonder why you ever wanted to drink coffee in the first place, whilst the herbs are so beneficial to the body, and it invigorates the body so much that you wonder, you know, why did I drink the coffee in the first place? But you have to go through that process, and sometimes that may take a month, 2 months. Probably within 90 days you can get through that, and you'll find that your palate will adjust to a better way of eating and tasting and living for life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Coy, I also have a question concerning supplements and the herbs. Is there a time that you need to wean yourself off of herbs, you know, but maintain your supplements? Or how do you promote using the herbs? Do you promote using the herbs as a way of continually supplementing your livid with it, or is it a time that you can wean yourself off or should wean yourself off the herbs?
Because Quia and I were having a conversation, and actually we were unclear as to whether or not, for example, let's say, for example, somebody has a debilitating disease, and they get healthy, you know. Or let's say, for example, they're, you know, trying to lose weight and they lose it, you know, or whatever the case is. But now you go to the doctor and you get a clean bill of health. Is it important to keep taking the herbs, or can you just now, again, as she mentioned, wean yourself off of the herbs and just continue taking your, say, vitamins?
Supplements, yeah.
Well, it depends on what you mean by weaning yourself off. I mean, What are you weaning? Where are you going? Are you going back to the diet that you used to eat that made you sick, or are you going to a place where it's going to be better, like to juicing or eating raw? When you make that transition, where are you going? That's the question. I mean, we know now that the dairy, the sugar, and the meat is the number one cause of the acid level being in, out of balance. So we want to not do anything to go, once we get over that, we don't want to go back to that, right? We okay. want to stay in a place where we know that the body is responding to the foods that we're eating, and the foods that we're eating is giving the body what it needs. Once you get there, don't think about going back or changing. It's a place that you want to be, and you want to stay there, and you want to learn to enjoy that. So you may have to get more involved in learning how to prepare different raw foods, or if you got to cook it, determining how to best cook it, or to get the whole foods. But no, you don't want to go back to a diet that made you sick. No, never.
Well, it wasn't more. I guess I wasn't really saying as far as going back to your old ways. Now you have a clean bill of health because you've changed your living. You use the herbs to help to, I guess, rebalance your body. And I guess my question is say for instance, if you did have high blood pressure and you're using the herbs to help to balance your blood pressure, you're eating healthy and things like that, do you need to continue to take that herb that helps to get you?
I mean, why would that? What would you change to? You have left a place where you have created this condition that you have, and you come out of it. Where are you going? What can you do that's going to make a difference or make it any better than what you've done? You've achieved where you want to be. Now the challenge is, how do you stay there? How do you maintain
yes.
that and not fall off? Because you go out with your friends one night and they eating chicken, you want to eat a whole chicken. I mean, where are you going? Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
if and chances are your friends are not going to be eating a healthy, robust salad. So it's only one way to go. You have to stay on the path that you're on to maintain your health and to take care of your body. So yeah.
Yeah.
Don't turn back or don't think about changing. Once you get to where you want to go, keep doing what you've done to get there.
I guess it's like somebody going to the gym and working out, okay, and then they decide that they're going to build muscle, and then
they get
to a point where they like are looking at themselves in the mirror, and they're like, yeah, I like this, I like this.
Oh, yeah,
well, in
yeah,
order for this,
yeah.
the way they got to keep going to the gym, right?
That's correct. Keep going to the gym to keep doing what they've done to get there. Otherwise, you're going to fall back into a place where you're going to be in a state of disease.
You know, I the reason why I asked that question was because, say, for instance, the herb LBS2. You're familiar with that, right, Coy? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, someone told me at one time, once you use that and you begin to get your colon built up, then, you know, you don't have to use that all the time or get too dependent on that particular herb. You want to get to a place where, through your eating and, you know, that you can have proper elimination. But I know that that's more for a colon cleanse. But, you know, say, for instance, a herb like that, would you just have to continue to take that?
Well, I would have to ask, what are you doing to maintain your fiber level? You got it. Fiber is an essential part of maintaining your health. Fiber is what soak up all this acid and pulls it through the bowel and eliminates it. And if you
yeah.
haven't done anything to address that by eating, in fact, it will probably be impossible to find a diet that you can eat that would give you all the fiber that you need in one day. So you're almost
yeah.
forced to have to take the herbs are what we're talking about here. You have to keep the herbs in your diet so that your body will function the way that it's supposed to do. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself not getting enough fiber or not getting enough water or whatever condition that you are coming out of. You're going to find yourself dropping back in it. So you have to make sure you keep your fiber level up. You can eat more fiber, and that will maybe lessen your dependency, not necessarily calling it dependency, but lessen your need to take the LBS or a colon cleanser. You
yeah.
can do that through eating raw, eating more fruits and vegetables, grain, nuts, and seeds. That will help, but the chances are you're still going to have to incorporate some form of fiber in your diet to get the necessary fiber that you need to keep your body moving properly every day.
Okay. I think I'm understanding what you're saying as well, because when I think about the pollution in the air and just different things that we come in contact with that we really don't even know that we still need something to keep our blood clean and just different things like that can help assist us with just, you know, doing the things that we cannot properly get from our foods, even if we're trying to eat right.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Even if you do everything you think you're supposed to do, chances are you're going to have to do more to give the body what it needs to perform properly. And the only way to do that is through the herbs. And if you incorporate the herbs to a place to where you are functioning, your body is functioning properly, you're having the proper movements, you're not holding on to your food too long. Your food is moving through your body in 24 hours or 16 to 24 hours, everything is out, then you are at the place where you need to be to have optimum health, and you'll find that oftentimes to maintain that place, yes, the water that you drink, the air that you breathe, your environment will dictate that you take something to help detox or keep that toxicity from building up in your body and creating some other disease, yes.
Okay. Are there herbs more alkaline-based, or are there a difference in certain herbs? Are some herbs more acidic versus alkaline?
Well, in terms of alkaline foods, you're looking at the grains, nuts, and seeds we talked about. You just want to make sure that they are not genetically modified. And your first line of defense would probably be your fruit. The fruit has the water that you need. It's pure water. You don't have to worry about whether it's alkaline or acid. The water that you get from your fruit and the plants that you eat should be enough to hydrate your cell and keep the acid from building up in the cell so that you get sick. So you want to make sure you get the berries, the apples, the apricots, the avocados, bananas, carrots, currants, dates, figs, grapefruit, grapes, and kiwis, things that are high in waters so that your body will have the water that it needs, the natural water that it needs to clean and purify the cells and keep your body functioning the way it should. So most any fruit that you can think of that's available in a supermarket, you want to make that your main source of nutrition. And through that,
okay. What about? I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, what about certain herbs, like loose herbs, like for example, alkaline versus acidic. For example, whereas dandelion, red clover, yellow dock, and burdock may be alkaline, I don't know about say St. John's Wort or you know yarrow or you know. Something like that. Do herbs themselves come in different levels of alkalinity? I mean, or alkaline? Are some herbs like that, like the loose herbs, like that,
and
others
that
acidic?
That is a consideration. You need to be certain that, number one, that what you think is an herb is an herb. An herb should be alkaline, but a lot of the herbs that are available, they are acid. And in other words, they're a hybrid. They was made from something else. They crossbreed between two different plants, and it can create a problem. So you want to make sure that what you're eating is an herb. Now, most vegetables would be probably acid, I would say. If you're eating a lot of vegetables, you may be getting over acidic, and you may not know why. But most vegetables, in fact, I say that the meaning of a vegetable is a hybrid. It's a plant that's been made in a factory to accommodate the food source of the people. So you want to make sure that any vegetable that you eat is alkaline. And I would say that, again, the most vegetables are hybrids, and they will create an acidity in the body that may not be comfortable or may lead to some other disease. But if you stay with what's known in terms of whole fruits and vegetables, you'll find that you won't have that problem. The best way to do that is to put everything that you eat to a test to find out whether or not it's acid or alkaline. You can go to the Internet and ask. You can find out, do research on it, and find out where did it come from, who introduced it, and why. And you'll find that oftentimes it's something that they've made up and they call a vegetable that they say makes us feel better. And again, it's what level that you are. There's a good, better, best. Now, some vegetables or any vegetable might give you some relief, but the best vegetable might be an herb or might be transformed into an herb that's been made alkaline by nature, and there's nothing man can do to change it. So if you got an alkaline fruit or vegetable or grain, nut, or seeds, if it's alkaline from the beginning, there's nothing you can do to change it or to make it less alkaline. Even if you cook it, you can still get some alkalinity from it if you're eating a real whole life plant. Yes.
Okay.
You know, Brother Corey, we've got a couple minutes left. I just wanted to ask about a particular herb or spice. I guess it's a spice that we've been taking. And spices, there are spices, for example. We have herbs and spices. For example, would turmeric, would that be considered a spice?
Well, I call spices and herbs the same. I would say they're the same because a spice is really a natural food. It's a food that's been derived from a plant, and the plant is generally a natural or whole plant. It's not a hybrid, and that spice or that plant will give added taste or added nutrition to the food, and will it also help with keeping the diseases from developing in the body. Like turmeric, as we are finding now, turmeric is excellent for diabetes or for even for brain function. We're finding that turmeric can reduce the effects of Alzheimer's or diabetes or a number of things that we can do. Curcumin is the active ingredient in turmeric that we need to keep fight some of these acidic levels that we get that create some other diseases. So, yes, a spice, I would say, you can generally use it in different forms. You can make a tea. You can use it as a seasoning in the food. There are different ways you can use it. But add them to your diet, and you'll get the benefit of having an herb, a whole herb, in your diet, which is more beneficial than not. Yes.
What about sprouts, Corey? Sprouts, I've heard that sprouts are excellent for the body.
Well, I would say that the best way to eat a grain, nut, or seed is to sprout it. The sprout is it's a live enzyme food. It's already alive, and when you eat it, your body can use everything in it to nourish the cells and detox the body. So, yes, if you the sprouting, I would say, is probably if you wanted to go extreme and just sprout, you would probably have a much better chance of surviving any disease or preventing any disease on the planet just by sprouting. You want to bring that seed or that plant or that nut to a sprout, because that's when it's alive, and that's what your body needs. Live, your body is a live enzyme organism, and it needs live enzyme food, and the best way to get that is through sprouting.
Brother Corey, we've got to get you to give your information, brother. This information is so powerful. This has been a fabulous interview. I want to thank you so much for being our guest this evening, and I know that people that are listening want to know how they can get in contact with you, brother. Could you please give your information? If you got questions, everybody, and you want answers, you got health issues, you know somebody with health issues, and you've tried the doctors, and the doctors, it's not working. The medical establishment has a very poor track record. So if you want some answers and you want to see your loved ones get better, this is the first thing you do. Write this number down. Contact Brother Corey Dunstan. Brother, how can they reach you?
202-562-0041. I'm usually there most of the time. If If I'm not, just leave a message and I can get back with you. But yes, this is what I do, and I enjoy doing it. And any information that I can share share with you to make your life better or to improve your health, anything that I know that will help, I will give it to you, and you can make the decision to use it or not. Yes.
202. Owner and operator of Secrets in Nature, for those of you in the Washington, D.C. area, D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, or if you're going to be in that area, Brother Corey, can you give the address to your store?
3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, 20032. That's in Washington, D.C., 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest. So if you happen to be in the area or if you live in the area, come on by or call me, 202-562-0041, and we'll see what we can do to assist in addressing your concern.
All right. Brother Corey, you have anything going on, any announcements, any classes being held over at your shop that you might want to make anybody aware of, anything that the listening audience might, if they're in the area, might want to stop through to check out? Oh, by the way, they have delicious food. Okay, everybody, if you're talking about experimenting or got some vegetarian cuisine, you definitely want to get by the store over there. Brother Corey, any classes or anything you have going on over there on the weekend, or, you know, that people might, workshops or lectures, anything coming up?
Well, not particularly, but we do one-on-ones particularly. Most people come in and they they'll learn, they'll, you know, watch me in the kitchen or come in the kitchen with me and work with me, or we can go and sit and talk about some condition that you might have, and I can give you recommendations.
Okay.
I like working one-on-one. I have no seminars or anything planned. We have a lot of catering activities we'll be doing for different people in the area. But
okay.
any questions or any concerns that you want to know about where I'll be or what I'll be doing, just give me a call, and I can let you know one-on-one what's up.
All right. Any closing remarks, Brother Corey? Thank you so much for your time, my brother. Any final words for our listening audience?
Well, I'd say that there's your health is your wealth, and if you want to have a healthy, prosperous life, I would recommend that you, first of all, take care of your health, because without health, all the money in the world won't matter if you cannot
Hello.
Enjoy it. So, yes, we want to encourage people to look out for themselves and be mindful of what they do to their bodies and what their bodies need, and anything that we can do to support that, that's what we do.
Brother Corey, we thank you again, my brother. Thank you so much. It's an honor, as always, to speak to somebody who's so passionate about holistic health, who's actually living it, you know, and sharing it, you know. The name of Corey's story is Secrets of Nature. But, you know, Corey's not keeping this all to himself. He's not keeping this a secret. Secrets of Nature is out there, and it's for everybody. Take advantage of this information. Give Brother Corey a call at 202-562-0041. You hear Corey regularly on Juwanza for Life. As a matter of fact, Corey will be back on in a couple of weeks. We have just taken different topics, and we're going down the list. So if there's anything, matter of fact, you can go back and listen to the archives and check out some of the other shows that we've had the pleasure of having Corey on, and learn as much as you can. And, again, give Brother Corey a call. Brother Corey, thank you so much. We appreciate you, man. We love you. And we'll be in touch with you and getting ready for the next show, my brother.
Well, I appreciate what you do, and I thank you and for the opportunity to come before and speak to your audience. And anything I can just do to support you, just let me know.
Will
do. Thank you, Corey.
You have a great day and enjoy your life.
All right. Thank you so much, my brother. Peace and blessings.
Shalom. I say the same.
Shalom. Yes, sir.
Take care.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much. Yes, everybody, that was Corey Dunstan, owner, operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. If you want to give him a call, the number there is area code 202-562-0041. That's area code 202-562-0041. Was that a powerful interview?
Yes, it was, as always.
And aren't they all?
Yes.
Brother Corey is awesome. I mean, just to be able to break down the body, what we do to the body, how it affects us, and, you know, our food is our fuel, you know. And so if you want your, I mean, you have a car and you want your car to run smoothly and optimally, you make sure that you give it what it needs, right? So the body's no different. If you take care of your car, if you wouldn't put sugar in your gas tank, don't put sugar in your body. I'm a witness. Okay, I mean, me and Aquia Chef Natale, we just cut out sugar altogether.
Yeah.
You know,
coffee
Coffee too. I mean, we're doing the raw thing now. So, you know, we're taking it to another level. Like Corey said, there's good, better, and best.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a process. It takes time, but just do a little bit at a time, and you'll get there.
You'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to, you know, experiment with food. I mean, again, if you're in that D.C. area, or you can just pick up the phone and call Corey. I mean, there are different recipes out there. I mean, you'd be surprised. The stuff that's out there that tastes just like meat,
absolutely,
that if you didn't know any better, you'd think you was eating meatloaf.
And I think the benefit of it all is you do feel that rejuvenation. You feel that energy,
mm-hmm,
you know, natural energy, not energy you just, you know, dependent on coffee and different things like that. And so it's a process again, but, you know, just start taking this information that we bring in, Coy,
mm-hmm,
to bring this information out to you so that you can glean off of this and take a little bit at a time, and you will see a difference if you keep with it.
And it's empowering. Isn't it empowering to know that you are taking control of your life? You are giving the body what it needs. You are making the choice and deciding what goes into your temple. Just remember, your body is a temple. Okay, so you can add to it or you can take away from it. And so we're just thankful to have somebody like Coy on as a regular. He's our resident holistic health expert, and we feel blessed to have him as our friend, our brother, and our teacher.
All right, and until the next time.
Until the next time. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Juwanza.
This is Yvette Aquia Chef Natea.
Peace and blessings. Talk to you soon.